Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. In 2 Timothy 2 and 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Now both of these verses encourage us to avoid some things, to prevent some things from happening. This is somewhat the sentiment expressed in that old adage that says an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Someone said it this way, it's better to build boys than mend men. I think we will all agree that it's better to avoid and prevent distress and trouble than to have to overcome it. It is with this attitude that we should approach the lesson that we want to present just now. Being brethren in the family of God, being members of the congregation that is united, being at peace with itself, moving forward with great opportunities, surely we would want to do everything we can to preserve and enlarge these qualities and conditions. Not every congregation enjoys these things, unfortunately. Many are torn apart by doctrinal issues and personality problems. To maintain the unity and strength that one has in a congregation, we all must submit to the truth. The best defense against the intrusion of error is a well-informed, well-taught membership regarding those things that could otherwise disrupt the peace of the church. Now, since Pentecost, the Lord's church has had two fundamental problems, liberalism and human legalism. Liberalism is disrespect for the authority of God, the willingness to go beyond the limits of God's authority, to assume liberties that God has not given, and to loose what God has bound. Human legalism is the other extreme. It is sometimes called anti-ism, but this is not really a good term because every Christian must be against some things. It is called human legalism in order to contrast it with the law that God has instructed. Human legalism is making laws and binding human judgment and opinion as if it were the law of God. And through the years, there have been those who have done one or the other. Sometimes we find those who have done both. Now, the Bible is the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All that we do and teach and practice should be according to His will, Colossians 3, 17 and 2 John 9 through 11. Paul said to teach otherwise is to bring upon oneself God's wrath, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Friend, we are not at liberty to do as we please, nor are we given the power to assume the throne of God and make laws as if God was the maker of them. We must operate within that which God has authorized, what He has commanded, what He has permitted, what He has instructed, and what He allows. God authorizes by direct commands, by approved examples, and by implication or necessary inference. Let us explain. When God commands something, obviously He authorizes it to be done. And when we read of actions of people, the actions that they have taken, they've taken them with God's approval. Obviously, this authorizes the actions for them and for us. And when God has authorized something, that which is necessary to the accomplishment of that something is implied. For instance, since God has commanded baptism, it is implied that He has authorized we provide sufficient water for baptizing. When God said to assemble, it is implied and necessarily inferred that He has authorized there be a place to assemble. Now, when God has told us what is to be done, and told us how that thing is to be done, both the what and the how are part of divine instruction, aren't they? Both of them, then, are binding. There is no room for human opinion wherever God has spoken. But when God has told us what to do, but has not directed the specifics as to how it is to be done, man must use his judgment He must exercise opinion. He must proceed in an expedient way to do what God says do. Now, there is no room for variance where God has spoken. There must, however, be liberty and charity toward each other in matters of human judgment. Again, we illustrate. God has said to go, but man must decide that which is the best means for going. God has commanded to baptize, but man must decide what kind of facility is expedient to provide sufficient water. God has said to assemble, but man must determine the best place. And we have no right to loose what God has bound, nor bind what God has left open. For local congregations, God's government is for the elders to oversee the affairs of the local church. They have not only the right, but the duty to decide in matters of opinion regarding the congregation over which they serve as bishops. The greatest danger in the church at this particular time is the growth of liberalism. This is true even while human legalists still are to be found. Human legalism has and does and will tear a church asunder. But friend, liberalism undermines the authority of God altogether and will remove the church completely from existence if it is followed. Even though liberalism is the greatest danger we currently face, we wish now to discuss certain human legalisms that have caused problems in the church in recent decades, notably the matter of church cooperation and the provision for orphans by the use of orphan homes. Before we get into the details, we shall come to a second and a third lesson. Let us be warned of the general approach human legalists often make in binding opinions where God has not bound them. They make the attempt to parallel what they consider to be wrong with something that we all definitely know to be wrong. For instance, those who oppose churches supporting orphan homes from the church treasury will attempt to make the orphan homes parallel and identical with missionary societies. Now, a missionary society is wrong because it displaces the church. It usurps the work of the church. It comes between the church and its work, and it is a human organization that makes the church secondary. Is the orphan home identical to the missionary society? Well, friend, if it is, it bears the same marks of error as does the missionary society. But there are some things about an orphan home that are indeed similar to the missionary society. But that does not prove that they are identical. Two people may have similarities, but they are not identical. One gross inconsistency of many of those who oppose supporting orphan homes from the church treasury is that they are willing to support them individually. But it is wrong to support the missionary society individually or collectively because it has no authority or right to exist. They therefore admit that they are not identical. Likewise, there are certain elements of similarity between the missionary society system and churches cooperating, but they are far from being identical, as we shall note later. Now, friend, the church is not a home, nor is a home the church. It is not the work of the church to be a home. It is the work of the church to provide a home for the homeless. The home does not take away the work of the church from the church, because the home does a work which the church never has been authorized to do or to be. The orphan home in no way infringes on the local autonomy or the independence of the local church, as do missionary societies with their delegations and voting assemblies of delegates from local churches. Human legalists contend everything must be according to some pattern that is found in the Bible. Let us underscore the truth that where God has given a pattern, men must respect and follow that pattern just as far as that pattern exists. We have no quarrel with that. But where there is no pattern, men do not have the right to make one for God and then demand everyone follow just that. In matters of faith, where God has spoken, we must adhere to the Word. But in matters of opinion, where there is room and necessity for human judgment, we must be charitable toward others and not attempt to bind a personal view as if it was divine law. But someone says, you have no example for it. But having an example is only one way of authorizing. We have no example for church buildings owned by the congregation. But buildings are authorized because God has commanded us to assemble, and there must be a place. Well, what kind of place? Well, God has not spoken on that. Therefore, we must exercise human judgment. There's no example for an invitation song. But we are authorized to preach the word and to encourage people to obey it. What all must we do and can do to encourage people to obedience? An invitation song is one way that is proved very expedient. The same principle applies in a number of other things, such as the manner of collecting the contribution, using chalkboards or microphones or radio or television in preaching. These things are authorized under the command to teach, and the specifics to the last detail have simply not been provided in Scripture. As for the church building, we make a mistake to consider it as something sacred, as if it was a sanctuary akin to the tabernacle or the temple of the Old Testament. Some make laws, as if God has made them, regarding what can and cannot be done in a church building. This is human legalism. So long as an activity is within the limits of Christian conduct, there is no law that governs the use of expediences when they are not being used for their primary purposes. No, it is not wrong to pitch ball in the parking lot, or to eat a meal together in the church building, or to use the church telephone to make a personal call, or to use a screwdriver that has been purchased by the church to help operate a mimeograph machine to adjust something on a delivery truck that stalls at the doorway of the building. What must we do in face of these extremes, which we intend to explore more in further lessons? But first let us suggest several things not to do. Do not let one extreme drive you to the other. Fearing liberalism, do not back into human legalism. Fearing human legalism, do not become a liberal concerning the necessity for God's authority. Do not let the abusive treatment you may receive from either a liberal or a human legalist drive you from Christ and from His church. To be sure, and sadly, some of the meanest people on earth are religious people who are liberals and legalists. Some will even lie and misrepresent and distort and accuse, but you must rise above that kind of sinful behavior. Do not go around with a chip on your shoulder looking for a fight with everyone who comes along. Stand your ground, teach the truth, but to be hostile and seek conflict is unproductive. And do not pretend the matters are unimportant. Do not attempt to just shrug off liberalism or human legalism as if it will just go away. Evil and error will make headway when good men do nothing. It cannot be ignored. Well, what should we do? Well, certainly we must study the issues involved. Know your own ground and why. Be sure you are standing on biblically sustained positions and have strong convictions. Do not wobble with every wave that comes along. Having strong convictions is not the same as being closed-minded. You can hold strong convictions and still be open-minded, but be sure there is evidence for what you believe. Do not just jump on whatever bandwagon somebody may be pulling through town. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." When we prove that every part of an operation is correct, then we will have proved the whole operation is necessarily correct. This is what we intend to do with both the matters of churches cooperating and churches supporting orphan homes. We approach many matters in this way. Do you know there is no one place where the system of salvation is spelled out 1, 2, 3? nor is there simplicity in the way that we are to worship. We're to search the Scriptures and take the whole counsel of God and learn the whole truth. But in such matters and problems that arise before the church, try to be kind and be considerate. Practice the golden rule. Be strong and steadfast, but do not get ugly and biting and vindictive, seeking personal glory or personal fame, for then even the good that you may be able to do will be overshadowed by the dark shadows of sin, and the truth will be unclear. I hope that you'll be listening to the future lessons in support of church cooperation and in the support of orphan homes. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.